Now, Monday Muse this week is no stranger to the program, but he is a stranger to the segment, and so frankly, we're going to have to see if he's up to it. Last time he appeared on the program, he was talking about a project he did that was orchestral, that was called Compassion. And I wonder if that, working in an orchestral space, has made him really, really pretentious. Well, he's released a new album in that sort of pop, rock, folk genre. I don't know what you call it, actually. Indie, that covers everything. So we can find out just how pretentious he is. Lior joins me once more. Thanks very much for coming in.
Hello, Waleed. Yes, it has made me pretentious, and the word or genre you're looking for is awesome.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty pretentious. Yeah. Yes, well done. Congratulations on Compassion, by the way.
Thank you.
Because I know we spoke about it in the drawing room on the show, and that was when it was just about to make its debut in Sydney. But
correct.
Since it's gone, it's toured just about the whole universe, hasn't it?
We've done it nationally, and it's been a great thrill, and it culminated in the performance at the My Music Bowl with the MSO, which was just one of my career highlights, I have to say. It's been an extraordinary journey.
And it's been captured in a recording, which has gone to number one on the classical charts.
It's just been sitting pretty at classical charts, which has been great. Yeah, the Sydney show has got recorded with the Sydney Symphony, and it's been received very well. So Nigel Westlake and I are looking at how to take this this baby overseas now.
Yeah, of course you would.
Why not?
You'd have to. And the Middle East would be a massive candidate for it, surely.
Yeah, I'm talking to some people in the Middle East as well. Yeah, the States and the Middle East, why not?
Good.
Whoever will have us.
And we'll talk off air about whether or not I can get my cut. But anyway, that's a separate conversation. So are you... How many pop musicians have got a number one classical album?
Not many, I guess. What can I say?
It's a rare category.
I'm blessed. What can I say?
It is a rare category. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that, so that's it. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
End of that. Your new album, Scattered Reflections. It pains me to say this, but congratulations. It's really, really great.
Oh, thanks, Wally. Thanks. I could see the look of pain on your face, but I appreciate
you. So your last album in this sort of genre was Tumbling Into the Dawn.
Yeah.
And I loved... just the songwriting ambition. Like, there was this, the first track on it, I Thought I Could Sing on My Own. And I know you've told me this story. A friend of yours pointed out that it seems to have every single chord that's ever been written.
Yeah, that's right.
In it. I reckon you've done it again on this album.
Oh, maybe. Really?
Yeah, I reckon you have.
Okay, I thought the songs were simpler on this
no,
album.
No, a little bit, but occasionally you bust out. And there's the second track, I Remember Me, which I just thought was an unbelievable track. We're going to hear a bit of it now. I want to know who's playing the kitchen utensils in this track. Let's hear a bit. They're not instruments.
Yeah, they are actually percussion instruments. But you're right, when we were mixing it, I said, I swear this sounds like pots and pans.
It does.
But they are, no, they're percussion instruments. I had two drummers on the album, and they set up two kits and played everything live with two kits, which presented challenges, but it does add like a multi-layered percussive element to this. I actually have footage of them recording that track. Yeah. They laid all their percussion instruments out on the ground. We just had microphones all over the ground, and they literally just picked up whatever they wanted, playing along to, you know, the rhythm tracks, and just started making noises, you know.
So were the parts written, or were they pretty much just hitting?
No, they were just hitting. We did a few passes, chose the one we liked the best, and it's completely improvised.
And so no overdubs. It was just whatever they played.
Yeah, whatever they played. Yeah, it was great.
It's incredible. Yeah. And then that song goes on, and I think has even more chords in it than the song that has every single
chord. Doesn't actually have that many chords.
Really?
I think it's just a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
The song I Remember Me, it's born out of watching my 7-year-old son lost and play in his imaginary world and being transported back to when I was his age.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I wanted that feeling of just like walking through and kicking toys on the ground and discovery and, you know, so.
Well, you kick your toys with impeccable timing, can I say?
It sounds like they've been kicked very well.
You've done extraordinarily well. And I detect a real Bowie element in that. I don't know if that's deliberate.
Very good, Wally. That is brilliant. Yep. I reckon I was listening to Bowie when I wrote that.
Yeah, well, there you go. But we're not going to hear that song. So
no.
I just thought I'd mention it. The other thing that decorates a lot of your work is Middle Eastern harmony. And I reckon it's less present in this album than it has been in some of your past, but it is occasionally there. Is this an accident, or does it just naturally flow out, or do you go, oh, that's right, I better chuck a harmonic minor in there somewhere?
I think you're right. I think it's two things. One is I do always like to have it in a subtle way. I don't sort of like to purposely put it in. If it comes out, then great. But also, I did this album in parallel with Compassion, and that was my outlet to sing, you know, as Middle Eastern as I wanted, you know. And and so I guess I just didn't feel that creeping into my musical
enough
repertoire.
Enough of that. Yeah.
Enough with the Middle Eastern stuff already. Come on.
Hey, when did you do this, by the way? Because Compassion was a massive project.
I worked on Parallel, so I'd switch between one and the other over 2 years, I reckon. Yeah, 2 years of writing.
You reckon this was a fundamentally different album because it was being done at the same time?
Yeah, I think so. Like we said, I didn't have that sort of need or expression of, I suppose, the more Eastern voice styling. But also half the album was written in collaboration with Cameron Dale,
yep.
who is a great guitarist, was living in India, and I went over and hang out with him for a bit. And so he offered just a new approach to writing. We brought it back. It's a new band playing it as well. So I think the sound of the band on most of the record is really different.
And the great thing about being a solo artist is you can just sack your band whenever you feel like it and just replace them with someone else.
If you've got no heart.
One of the prerogatives. Yeah, that's right. If you've got no heart. We're going to play, what are we going to play? A Lift in the Morning Fog. This is the third track off the album. Is there anything you want to tell us before we hear it?
No.
Okay, good. Let's hear it.
I'd rather have faith in you than in some dream that'll never come true. Yes, I'd rather believe in flesh and blood, something I can see, something I can touch. And the spirit rises up, a lift in the morning fog. Sometimes the glare is too bright and dull. Maybe you're my savior after all. You know, I used to want to go it alone. Strength in my eyes was not needing anyone. Ooh, but I've grown. A lift in the morning fog. Sometimes the glare is too bright and oh, maybe you're my solace after all.
A Lift in the Morning Fog, it's the third track from Lior's new album, Scattered Reflections. He is our Monday muse, and you heard the strings there. Of course he's got some strings there because he's recently been hanging out with all sorts of orchestras, and that's the pretentious thing. Speaking of pretentious, you've got to tell me when you wrote that song, the circumstances that led to it, because this has got to be the most pretentious story of all time.
Okay, yeah, how's this for pretentious?
Yep.
So as I mentioned, I was in India and I was travelling with Cameron. He told me about this place that he'd heard of, which was in the Rajasthani desert, which was a 14th century fort they'd converted into a hotel. So we decided to check it out. We went there and we were sitting on the balcony looking down onto the Rajasthani desert as the sun was setting. Mm. And there was a wedding down on, you know, in the village at the foot of the desert, and the drums were coming up, and I had the guitar in my hand, and these chords just came out and inspired this song.
So, 14th century Rajasthani fort, you say?
Yes. Mm. Although, was it 15th or 16th?
I was just going to ask you whether or not it would have been perhaps a different composition if it had been a 13th century fort.
Well, it would have been vastly different.
Yeah,
but I think the listeners will get a very 14th century
feel to it. Incredible. Before we move on to your muse, the thing I've noticed in this album, but also just your stuff generally, is harmonically you make choices that I don't really hear other people make, very often at least, certainly not in the pop world. Do you work on this? Do you just find these chords sort of because your fingers just happen to go there? How does this happen?
Yeah, look, you know, I think that it happens from ignorance and the fact that I haven't really studied music theory in depth. And I have this conversation with the musicians I work with because they're far superior musicians to me, and they have such a vast and intricate knowledge of music theory. And, you know, I often kind of feel inferior to them in many ways, but they often express kind of like, oh, how did you come up with that? You know, and so I suppose I just don't have rules in my head and that get in the way. You know, I just kind of follow where my ear wants to go. And actually Cameron, who I worked with, he's an incredible musician and really kind of had to work at breaking the rules that he had learnt, you know, does now. But he sort of says, don't ever go and study music because you just don't mess you've got something going on intuitively, just go with that. Don't worry about it.
But there are lots of untrained musicians who don't find this harmony.
True, although Cameron does swear that his favourite songwriters are all unschooled. I think you just got to learn your strengths and go with that.
Yeah, I suppose. And, you know, draw on 14th century Rajasthani forts and the like. That's part of how it works. All right. So you have to make a choice. You have to introduce us to something of the musical world that we should be excited about. And What we've just heard, I think, points a little bit to where you're going with here.
It and does. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel with my choice.
No, but I'm surprised because I know you're a massive Led Zeppelin fan. And I just thought you'd pick out some enormous Jimmy Page thing, but no.
No. Yeah. You know what? I'll explain to you why I chose James Taylor. Firstly, he's my favourite singer. What I've always loved about James Taylor is there's just an honesty and truth that rings in his voice and his understated delivery. And he doesn't really get mentioned in a group of like the great male singers.
You don't go Dylan Taylor or you don't go Mercury Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but if you actually listen to his pitch, timing and intonation, you just won't find anyone better. It's incredible. But it's just delivered in a very understated way. So his guitar playing is gorgeous, you know. But the reason I chose him is because I recently did a show and I was very unhappy with my performance. I kind of walked off stage and made a huge blunder and I was really hard on myself.
What went wrong? You got to tell us.
Hey?
What went wrong?
Oh, okay. I'll tell you. It was in Canberra. And
That's all right.
But it was during the Australia Day. I was invited to play at the citizenship ceremony in Canberra, right?
Yep.
I was there and I was alone with my guitar and it was, as you can imagine, this really kind of full-on environment. And I was like Governor General and Australian of the Year and Tony Abbott and everyone's staring at me in the army band. And I'm playing this song and it's going great. And at one point I sort of looked up and you know, I just kind of caught Tony Abbott staring at me and I just kind of like everything just fell apart. I just hit the wrong note on the guitar. My throat seized up and there were just 3 seconds of complete disaster and I recovered. But afterwards I kind of, oh man, you know, that was a train wreck. So I was thinking, I was kind of catching the plane home going, oh yeah, I lost the battle with that one.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right, what's going to make me feel better? And I thought, where do I go? I go to James Taylor, you know,
really?
And he soothed my soul with this song that I'm going to play. And that's why I chose him, because I realized that, you know, there's a certain comfort and sincerity that's very healing about James Taylor's music. And I think, you know, I think when I write songs, I try and achieve that in some of my songwriting as well.
Well, after a heavy day of news and other cultural chit-chat on RN Drive, perhaps we all need to be soothed. So thank you very much for your choice. I do appreciate it. We're about to hear a song which is called Carolina in My Mind. Is there anything else you want to say before we hear it?
No.
Good. Oh, this is a theme. I'm picking it up. Scattered Reflections is the name of the album. Lior is the artist. He is my Monday muse for the day. It's wonderful to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
It's lovely. Thanks, Wally.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Guess I'm gone to Carolina in my mind. Karen, she's a silver.